Our scripture reading today is found in the book of Psalms, right about in the middle of the Bible, Psalm 46. As you know, we're working our way through the Psalms, probably take us up all the way to Easter, and it's exciting to me to take a fresh look at Psalms like Psalm 23 that are so special to us. And today you'll recognize some of the phrases, some of the verses in Psalm 46 that are special to us as well. I'll be reading this, but there's going to be two verses that I want us to read together, verse 7 and verse 11. And so Nick does a great job of putting those up on the screen, the scripture verse. And so as I read, you can follow along. But when we get to verse 7, I'm just going to pause and invite you to read that verse along with me, and the same with verse 11. This is Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. Let's read this next verse together. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Now let's read this last verse together. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This is the word of God for the people of God. So if you're a sports fan, and even if you're not a sports fan, you know today the Super Bowl is played down in Tampa, Florida. Kickoff is at 6:30. It's always a big deal in our country and actually around the world. Lots of people all around the world tune in and watch the Super Bowl. Super Bowl security this year is a little different than in the past. And every Super Bowl, there's lots of security. And year after year, that security ramps up just to kind of keep all of the fans all the staff, everybody there as safe as possible. But this year, it's mostly focused on avoiding the spread of COVID. Usually, security has to deal with rowdiness and rambunctiousness and crowd control in the effort to deter any violence that might happen. But this year, the NFL is working with the CDC and Homeland Security in order to deter any germs that might happen. And so efforts include a limit to the crowd size to about a third. Usually that capacity in that stadium is about 66,000, so there's only going to be about 22,000 there today. There's going to be physical distancing enforced, so people are going to stay 6 feet apart in their seating. They're going to be 6 feet apart everywhere they would go in the stadium. They're going to be given a safety kit when they get there, which includes an N95 mask that everyone will be required to wear. And they're also going to be given a 2-ounce bottle of hand sanitizer. P&G is supplying 35,000 bottles of hand sanitizer for just the Super Bowl today. And there's going to be over 1,000 hand sanitizing stations spread out throughout the stadium. And I found something interesting. They're even banning the use of cash today at the Super Bowl. You cannot pay cash for anything. And so I kind of wondered about how they do that. Well, they're going to have several, what they call reverse ATMs all around the stadium. In other words, you can go with a $20 bill and you can put it in this reverse ATM machine, and what comes out is a $20 debit card that's you can use to buy whatever you want, souvenirs or concessions or whatever. So that's just a little snippet of what's kind of going on nationwide around our country and even around the world. Is our security is focused in a new way with COVID, and that's trying to help us stay healthy and avoid the spread of that virus. But you think about it, security is a huge part of the way we live. It didn't used to be that way. I remember the days when we didn't lock our door at night when we went to bed. We didn't even have to lock our car doors when we went shopping anywhere. I remember the day when I was a 12-year-old kid, I could hop on my bike after school. I could ride everywhere in town, all around town, miles and miles and miles. I'd be gone for hours. I never phone home, never tell mom where I was. I might say I'm going to go over to this friend's house, but we might meet and then we might go someplace else. Didn't even think about safety and security back in those ancient days. But now, you know, we have security protection systems everywhere. We have home security systems. We have cameras. We have smoke detectors. We have car alarms. We have anti-lock brakes. We have safety restraint systems in our cars. We have passwords to protect our computers and our phones. We have high-tech defenses to protect our identity and guard our finances from online hackers. We use all of that and much more to keep ourselves and our possessions safe and secure, right? Are you tracking with me? That's part of the way of life right now. And so having certain defenses in place to protect us is important. It's important because we value life. It's important because we put a premium on safety and security. And so Psalm 46 grabs our attention because it talks about security. It talks about protection. It talks about safety. God is our fortress is what rings through Psalm 46. And Martin Luther, the great reformer, nailed it with that great hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, that we sang the first verse of a minute ago. God, a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. I don't even know what a bulwark is for sure, but it sounds strong, doesn't it? It sounds safe. Sounds like some place I want to be is behind a bulwark, whatever that is. Yeah. Verse 1 starts out, God is our refuge and our strength. Psalm 18 and many other psalms in the book of Psalms convey the same kind of idea. Psalm 18 says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, my salvation, my stronghold. All of those terms bring out the idea that it's that we have a relationship with God that's safe, that we can find security. God is my protection. When my world starts to fall apart and the ground I stand on begins to crumble beneath me, I know that I can run to God and He will save me. Though all hell breaks loose in my life, I know God will rescue me. And that's what happened to Noah in the flood, right? All kinds of things broke loose around Noah during that incredible flood scene in Genesis. And yet God rescued Noah and his family and the animals two by two. That's what happened with Jonah in the belly of the whale, thrown into the sea, and a whale comes up and swallows him. And out there in the belly of the whale, Jonah's crying out for safety, for security. God, rescue me. That's what happened to Daniel in the lion's den, thrown into the den of hungry lions, and yet God rescued him, protected him through the night. The Lord rescues His people and protects them from danger. Amen? Except that's not what 46 is about. That's not what Psalm 46 is about. Last century, when I first started my ministry, I served a congregation where a young woman was diagnosed with liver cancer. She was a wife, a mother of two children. She and her husband were very faithful to the Lord, very active, committed to the church. But one day the husband came to see me, and with tears in his eyes and frustration in his voice, he said, what good is it to pray? What good is it to go to church every Sunday if this is what's going to happen? That's what Psalm 46 is about. There's something more important in life than living. I want you to just kind of let that sink in. I'm going to say that a few times in the next several minutes. There has to be. God is a mighty fortress, but we're not exempt from liver cancer. God is our rock and our bulwark, but we still hurt and we still struggle and we still get lonely. That's what Psalm 46 is about. There's something more important in life than living. So what is it? Well, maybe there's a clue in verses 4 and 5. If you remember, it says, there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, and she will not fall. God will help her. So there's more than physical security with God. There is with God, there's a spiritual security. In the holy city of Jerusalem, the ancient Israelites built this magnificent temple, temple of the Most High God, the one and only true God. The Jerusalem temple was the majestic center of the nation's worship and religious celebrations. It was the place to meet God. It was the place to offer him sacrifices, to sing his praises, to receive his blessings. The temple in Jerusalem stood as the ultimate symbol of spiritual security. Our relationship with God is safe and sound. We are safe and sound because, look, the temple is here. So the world around us is going crazy. That seems to be the word of the last several months. But at least we know heaven is for real and our eternal life is secure. We can say with Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 1, I know whom I've believed in, and I am convinced that he is able to guard that which I've entrusted to him until that day I see him face to face. So with all the fullness of our faith, with that assurance that we have, that we stand upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ, knowing that he has prepared for us a place in the Father's house, in that heavenly temple, our hearts take refuge in the thought that one day we will be full citizens of a new heaven and a new earth. Amen? But that's not what Psalm 46 is about. The Israelites got it wrong. It wasn't the temple. It wasn't their religious festivals. It wasn't the sacrifices that they made or the keeping of the law that guarded their life. It wasn't prayer or worship or fasting or even their faithfulness that protected them. And Jeremiah, the great prophet Jeremiah, tried to convince the Israelites in his preaching that that was the case. He stood at the front door of the sanctuary as faithful people were coming in to worship the Lord. And in Jeremiah chapter 7, he says this, "Don't be fooled by those who promise you safety simply because the Lord's temple is here. They chant, 'The Lord's temple is here, the Lord's temple is here, the Lord's temple is here.'" Jeremiah says, "Don't be fooled into thinking that you will never suffer because the temple is here. It's a lie," is how he put it. And God drove that point home in 586 BC when the Babylonian army captured Jerusalem and destroyed Solomon's beautiful temple. Many years later, the Israelites rebuilt the city and they rebuilt the temple. But 600 years after that, the temple was completely demolished again, this time by the Roman army, and it's never been rebuilt. Spiritual security does not guarantee protection in this life. John the Baptist, Jesus called him the greatest prophet who ever lived, was beheaded. The Apostle Paul, maybe the greatest evangelist who ever lived. Some traditions say that he was beheaded as well. Some traditions say he was torn apart by lions in the Roman Colosseum. The Apostle Peter was crucified upside down. And on and on and on it goes. Great men and women of faith. Executed in their life, not exempt from experiencing even violent death. That's what Psalm 46 is about. There is something more important in life than living. There has to be. God is our refuge, but we're not exempt from trials and persecution. Jesus is our rock and our Savior, but Christians still suffer from religious persecution. We still experience the fallout and of evil, the ripple effects of sin in our world. We still grieve the loss of the Garden of Eden, where everything was wonderful and perfect. That's what Psalm 46 is about. There is something more important in life than living. So what is it? Well, the answer is in Psalm 46. It's in that refrain that happens in verse 1, and then it happens again in verse 7, and then it happens again in verse 11. You know, most of the psalms are songs that the ancient Israelites would sing, and Psalm 46 is one of those. It specifically said this is a song. In fact, sometimes if you're reading in your Bible, you see the title right underneath the place where it says Psalm 46, and then it says some things. Well, this one says, for the choir director, a song of the descendants of Korah, who were musicians, to be sung by soprano voices, to be sung by those voices that would carry the tune loud and strong over everyone else. And so the answer is in the refrain of this song. And the refrain in verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, and listen, an ever-present help in trouble. Did you hear me emphasize and underline and highlight ever-present? Because that's what shows up again in verse 7. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Same thing, same exact thing in verse 11. The Lord Almighty is with us, with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The Lord Almighty is with us. That is more important than anything that could ever happen to us in living our life. More important than protecting our houses and our cars and our bank accounts and even our health and our identity. Being with God, that presence of God with us, is more important than all of that. God is with us for a reason. Think about this. God so loved the world that he came to be with us, that he sent his Son. The second person of the Trinity, fully God, fully man, sent to be with us. In fact, his name, the one who was born in Bethlehem, the one who was prophesied about in many places in the Old Testament, what I'm thinking about is Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. This will be a sign to you. The virgin shall conceive and will give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And Matthew picks up on that, chapter 1, verse 22, talking about the birth of Jesus. This was to fulfill what the prophet said, that a virgin shall conceive and give birth, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. What is most important in life? What is most important living on the face of this earth? Is being with a God who is present. That's what Psalm 46 is about. Psalm 63 picks up a similar idea. Verse 3 says, "Your love, O Lord, is better than life itself." How do you know the love of the Lord? You're with him. He's with you. You experience the reality of God's love as it comes through Jesus Christ. Back to John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." He wants us to know his love. And for us to know his love, we have to be with him. He's with us. Verse 8 in Psalm 46 says, "Come and see what the Lord has done." In other words, get your eyes off of what's happening in the world and focus them on what God is doing. Get your eyes off of what China has done. Get your eyes off of what the Republicans and Democrats have done. Get your eyes off of what Elon Musk and Bill Gates have done. Get your eyes off of Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes. Get your eyes off of what the stock market has done. Come and see what the Lord has done. Look at what God does. He stops wars, as the example that Psalm 46 uses. He dissolves the instruments of violence and destruction, of injustice and oppression, that the instruments that people and nations use to hurt one another and kill one another. And he yells out in a loud voice, "Stop it. Sit down. Be quiet. Be still. And know that I am God. I will be exalted in the earth no matter what's going on. I'll be exalted among the nations no matter what they're doing. Because there's going to come a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. That's going to take place." And so get your eyes off of things in this world that just scare us. And get your eyes on the solid fortress that we have in Jesus Christ. "I am God, I am with you," is what Psalm 46 is about. "I will be honored above everything. You'll see. I'll be honored above the nations. I'll be honored above politics, above climate change, above space exploration, above capitalism. I'll be honored even above freedom and democracy. Because I am here. I am with you. God's not going anywhere. He didn't just create this amazing universe and just bug out. He created this amazing universe, and he created human beings to be at the focus, the center of this wonderful creation, and then he decided to stay with us. He's in this with us. He didn't leave and go anywhere. He is with us. "Because I am here, I am with you." That is what is most important about life. That's a bulwark of truth in which we can find strength and refuge. So you know the man who was born in 1703. His father was an ordained minister in the Church of England. He himself was educated at Oxford and became an ordained minister in the Church of England. He felt God's call to preach, and so he served Church of England parishes. He felt God's call to go across the Atlantic on a 2-year mission program to reach those heathen in Georgia. Yeah, you know the man who, when he came back from his mission trip, sat on a Wednesday night Bible study and felt that his heart was strangely warmed, that God had touched his heart and soul in a very deep and personal way. You know the man whose life was then set on fire to preach the gospel in open-air settings where tens of thousands of people responded and accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You know the man who is responsible for building up a movement in England that resulted in a great spiritual revival. You know the man who organized so many of those new followers of Christ into small groups so they could have some accountability, so they could have a place where they could grow and form spiritually. You know the man who incessantly preached about growing up in the Lord, about maturing in our faith. He called it Christian perfection. The Bible calls it sanctification. It's a process where we become more Christ-like because we're intentional about reading the Bible and praying and exercising our faith and loving one another and all the things that go to help us to be faithful disciples. You know the man. His name is John Wesley. John Wesley began this movement that is now known as Methodism, and has grown to touch every corner of the earth. Methodism came from England across the Atlantic to the United States when the United States was just forming in its infancy as a nation, needed some spiritual rooting. And for the first 100 years of life as an independent country, Methodism was the largest denomination in America. John Wesley was an advocate for the poor. John Wesley was an advocate for social justice in his time. He could not stand how the workers were treated in England. And so he worked hard for laws that helped workers in the coal mines and other places have some sense of safety, security. He was a voice for women in leadership and ministry. He worked hard to abolish slavery in our world. He was a friend and a mentor to John Newton and to William Wilberforce, who, between the two of them, probably were most responsible for abolishing slavery in the Great Britain Empire that was, you know, countries all around the world. John Wesley, in his preaching and his writing, he wrote over 400 books and pamphlets, helping people everywhere to understand the good news of God's love. It was through the fire that God lit in John Wesley's heart that a great revival happened in England and in America. He died on March 2nd, 1791, at the age of 87. He had touched so many. His legacy continues today to profoundly impact the world and to advance God's kingdom. On his deathbed, with his last breaths, with people that he loved and who loved him surrounding him and who were hanging on his every word, who wouldn't want to know what the last words of this great man, what they were? What was he going to say? And so they waited and they made sure they got it right, because the last words of John Wesley were words that the whole world would want to know. And so with his last breaths, this is what he said. Best of all, God is with us. And he said it again. Best of all, God is with us. Though the world crumbles, though nations stumble, though cancer and COVID take their toll, best of all, God is with us. That's what Psalm 46 is about. Get it? Good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this timely word. Even though it was written many, many centuries ago, this word is still true today, still strong, still providing us hope, still providing us a sense of what's most important in life. And we thank you today that you've again reminded us that your very presence with us matters more than anything else. So we pray that you help us to focus on that. Help us to plug into your presence. Today we are here to worship you, to sing your praises, and so we know it's important to plug into you. Help us to stay vigilant about that. And help us to help others know that you are with us. That's our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.